It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Hopefully, we have a few more of these left. Jordan Mailata joins us every Tuesday at 4. Hey, Jordan, how are you?
Boys, it's good to hear from you today.
What's up, big dog?
You refreshed and ready? How's the body feeling after the week off?
Ready to go. Ready to go, man. Ready to go. Body's feeling fresh after that week off. Really excited to... Playing January football, man. So
let's go. We didn't see the first team offense on Sunday, largely. You guys had been taking some steps, you know, getting to where I think you guys would admit you wanted to be. How close going into the playoffs do you feel like the offense is to being where you feel happy and comfortable with it?
I'd say we're pretty close. We just need to execute on a couple plays. To keep that ball going, keep the flags moving. And I think, you know, if we take care of that first and second down and not put ourselves in some pretty crap situations on third down, you know, I think we can definitely be the offense that everyone knows we're capable of.
True or false, Jordan, ever since I told you you could say crap and not the other word, you say it like continuously.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
I say it as much as I can because, you know, you've helped me out. You helped me out.
He said the S word a couple of times. I said, you can't say that one. He said, what about crap? I was like, you can say crap. And now it's constant.
That's all I say now.
Yeah.
So it's not my fault. I blame you.
So when you look at this offense, Jay, man, coming in, you know, I hate to compare last year to this year, but that's just sort of what we do. And you guys were so dominant and so efficient last year in running the football. You know, we can't help as a fan base but lean back on it or yearn to have that going again. I'm just wondering from your perspective, what do you feel from your unit about getting the running game going this week? I'm not, you know, these are my analysis about San Francisco, but they certainly are susceptible in the running game. You guys feel like that's something that you could possibly take advantage of or look forward to getting your offense going in that direction?
1,000%. We've talked about how this playoff run is going to start up front. It's going to start off with execution. You know, you look back what we did last year, the rate of execution, as much as people hate me when I say that, it's what it comes down to when it comes to O-line play. It's not about scheme. It's about execution. And so, you know, just talking to the guys up front, that's what it's going to begin with. It's going to begin with us executing our role. So we can get this run game going through the playoff run and make a push to the Super Bowl, man, get another one.
This is the other thing I would throw in there. You guys, in the past, have always been a well-disciplined team. This year, we've sort of struggled with pre-snap penalties, and those have been some of the things that have put you guys behind the sticks early in the downs. I would imagine that's something that'll get re-emphasized this week just to make sure you guys aren't doing anything to shoot yourselves in the foot.
Yeah, that's going to be emphasized on a player-led basis too, not just the coaches-led basis. It's going to be something that we're going to harp on this week, taking care of the little things that we can control. Those are the things, you know, that if we let it slip, that's going to determine the outcome of the game. And again, we put ourselves in crap situations, third and long and second and long, and you know, it's not fun when you do that.
You know, this season has been rocky at times. There have been some ups and downs both on and off the field, but you guys have pulled through it. Do you think battling through those things has made the group more together? Like, has it been a positive thing?
1,000%. 1,000%. I mean, it's just like, honestly, it's just like any other season. When you go through adversity, all you can do is band together. This year, we just have a little bit of an extra spark with our defense playing lights-out ball and being really the nucleus of all of us coming together. So, you know, shout-out to our defense.
Well, let me ask you about that because and you sort of mentioned that briefly on several occasions, being very complimentary of the defense. I would imagine it has to be exciting for you guys when they go out there and do what they're doing. Like, if they go out there and they get a big hit or a big turnover, a big three and out, get you guys the ball back, that has to breathe a little life into you guys from an offensive standpoint, so where you're feeding off of their energy as well.
1,000%. 1,000%. You know, and there are some times when they did give us the ball back, and when we don't turn up with points, if we go three and out, you know, they're always there to pick us up again. And so, yeah, special unit that we have, man. We're pretty lucky.
So you are, you know, every season's different, but Robert Saleh as a coordinator does have some consistencies, and you guys have faced a Robert Saleh defense a few times, both with the 49ers and with the Jets. What are some of the things that you would look for that are consistent about a Saleh defense going up against him?
Probably going to look for more of the one-on-one matchups. We know there are two types of schemes that the defense alignment have taught, either penetrative style or a two-gap style kind of defense. And so they lean more towards the penetrative style of defense, more aggressive. You know, got to meet them with aggression as well. And I think they would try to probably lean on getting as many one-on-one matchups, you know, across the line as possible.
Yeah, one more penetration, and I was going.
Yeah, yeah, you're aggressive penetration.
Yeah, one more time. Yeah.
Hold on there, big fella. Yeah.
Sorry, man. Too many P words. My bad. Yeah.
No, you're going good.
Is this week now? I know football players in general. You are the habit, the routine, mm-hmm. those sorts of things. Is this week for you guys similar in terms of structure to a regular season week?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Nothing changes. You get back to the routine at the end of the game. Well, at the end of the day, how we treat it, it's just another game. It's just another game, but it's the next game, and you got to keep it going like that. You can't make the moment bigger than it is. Otherwise, you start playing mind games, right?
All right, man. Well, we are excited for playoff football mm-hmm. on Sunday, and hopefully next Tuesday we are talking about the very next game. We wish you luck, and
thank you, brother,
and have a good one. Thank you,
all
Jordan.
Right, bro. Go Thanks, Birds.
See you next week.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
There he is, Jordan Mailata. Yeah, that you. It's always funny with you when somebody's doing something like that on the phone because you always let one slide.
Yep.
Two, you do not let slide.
I was like, one more. Yeah.
That's a new rule for Ike, it seems, this year. Didn't let Jaw slide.
Nope. No.
Yeah, did not let Jordan slide.
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now, I'll tell you what. Sounds pretty upbeat.
He does.
You know, excited.
He felt that way last night, too.
I would have to imagine, right? Obviously never won a championship, but but getting back to this point in the season, when the postseason get here, there is a different energy. And when I say that they will flip the switch, it's not so much that all of a sudden they're going to be something that they haven't been all year from an offensive standpoint. I just mean from the alertness, the excitement going into this game, knowing that, hey, it could be over with. Like, the season is over with if we don't win Sunday. There is no next week if you don't win. And that's why I think the intensity ramps up when the playoffs come, because it's one and done. And for a team that is in the playoffs just about every year, and they've experienced the highs and they've experienced the lows, they know what it's like to lose in the first round. They know what it's like to limp into the playoffs and not be playing your best football and not really have confidence going down there against a team. There's no way that 2023 team thought they were going to win that game in Tampa.
They'd have been the only ones.
Yeah. Like, no, we talked about the game, and no one believed that they were going to win the game that week.
They were favorites in that game.
Yeah,
which
unbelievable.
Is, yeah.
And without AJ. So,
yeah.
But they didn't feel that way internally. I would imagine last year they were chomping at the bit
yes.
going into the playoffs because they felt healthy. They were in a good place. Saquon was doing what he was doing. This year, there had to be a feeling of shouldering this burden of being defending champions and knowing that nothing else really matters to anybody unless you get back there. So getting to the postseason and knowing that you're finally here, this is what you've been trying to get back to. The only thing I can liken it to is us losing the NFC Championship game, having to pick ourselves back up the next year, knowing that regardless of what we do during the season, it doesn't matter. You got to get back to the postseason and try to get over that hump. And we had that excitement once the playoffs started. So I would have to imagine they feel that right now.
I wonder if that intensity, I would guess that that intensity works very well for you when things are clicking and you have confidence in your process.
Sure, yep.
I wonder if the ramped up intensity could work against them in terms of, like, you know, to a certain extent, those pre-snap penalties are...
Yeah.
I wonder if that intensity and that stress and that pressure actually works the other way if things start to go the wrong way with the team on Sunday. You know, that you know, pressure can help, but I just don't get the sense at any point that they have felt, both by watching and listening to them, that they have felt at any point this year that, now we got it. Now it's working. Now we know what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They're still, they can say they know what their identity is. They have no idea what their identity is on offense.
No, I agree.
You know, in terms of successful identity.
Right.
I know what they think they want
to
do.
And having something to lean on and a go-to. Real quick.
Yeah.
I also believe, and this is not me trying to glaze for Jalen, but I do believe there's something to him about wanting to be in the postseason.
I agree.
And being a defending champion and a former Super Bowl MVP, it's like, you know, he has this Jordan Kobe thing going. Well, this is when they normally play the biggest. This is when I would imagine in his mind, he's like, this is what I'm built for. I'm built for the postseason.
And you can't discount the fact that two of his best games ever were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you that.
Yeah,
so I think he sees this, and it's an opportunity for him. And you know, listen, the receivers, you know they want to do their thing.
I'm sure they do.
Saquon is the only one I feel like doesn't have – he's so reliant on the offensive line.
Yes.
Blocking for him well.
Yeah.
If you give him the holes, he's going to be able to do some damage. But it's nothing he can do if there are people in the backfield every time he gets the ball.
He can't beat all the defenders by himself. A wide receiver can beat
somebody
a cornerback.
Somebody one-on-one, yes. So I see AJ against, and I don't even know 49ers corners, but I'm pretty sure they got to be pretty happy whomever they're going up against this week.
Yeah, there's not really a part of the 49ers defense that's good this year.
Yeah.
The run defense is bad. The pass defense is bad. The pass rush is bad. In every category, they're bad. So I said earlier, you know, win's a win, and you just get through the game. But, man, if you're thinking through the playoffs, you would really like to be able to move the ball on Sunday. You would really like to be able to move the ball. 215-592-9494. Dennis in Newtown. You're on WIP. What's up, Dennis?
Hey. Good afternoon, everybody. Is it fair to say, Spike, that ESP is a lightning rod of controversy or what? It's coming from...
Yeah.
Takes coming from left field that, like, what? What did he just say?
Yeah, dude, the only thing I can liken it to is the way that people describe
it. Like he has a book bag of takes. He just pulls them out, man.
We don't even know what's going to come.
Yeah.
The only thing I can liken it to is the way that people describe how they feel listening to me is how I feel listening to Elliot. And you know, at least I get to yell back at him. Most people, you know,
they,
you're
they
in
don't
your
get
car.
To yell at you,
you know, or
you're yelling at the radio.
Yeah, yeah. He's something else, man, and he does not back down. He would, Dennis, if the hour he was here was 6 hours long without a commercial break, he would go the entire 6 hours arguing the same
thing.
Yeah. He's a machine.
It reminded me of Point Counterpoint back in the Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Yeah.
Days, you know?
Yeah.
It just kept going.
Yep.
Hey, listen, I don't think they're going to flip a switch. I mean, the thing that I miss most about this team last year on offense is in closer games, if they got the ball with like 10 minutes left, they could use that 10 minutes on the offensive side of the ball.
That's a good point.
With drives.
Yep. That's a really good point. Yep.
You know what I mean? And I really think that for this team to flip a switch, if they do just that, combined with this defense, and I really do think this defense has to turn the ball over, but not only that, I think they got to score points off. They themselves have to score some points in some games to give this team a little bit of a boost on the offensive side of the ball. So I don't know that they have to flip a switch. I think they're going to improve. I don't know if they're going to get back to where they were last year. I disagree with Elliot. I went into last year feeling like we can win because we get the ball with 10 minutes left.
Nobody,
they're not going to get the ball back. I don't feel that way this year. So That would be what I would say.
Yeah, that's a really good point, that the ability of them to ice a game, you know, when they have a 10-point lead in the fourth, and the other team is thinking, look, if we just get a stop here, we can get two possessions in the fourth quarter, no problem. At this point, the Eagles having some 10.5, 11-minute drive to ice the game seems like fan fiction. I can't imagine them doing that, and it puts pressure on the defense, you know? But they've lived really up to that pressure, you know? Dennis, next question today. So next question is giving us an infamous soundbite. What do you got?
All right, so everywhere I went when I used to coach and do sales process coaching and things like that, and I used to mention the word practice, what do you think I got back no matter what state I was in?
Oh, we're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice.
That's
so
a great
I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, that is
a
great
that?
One. That is a classic one. That one is ubiquitous.
Meaning like evergreen?
Sort of. Yeah, okay. Sort of.
At least we've heard of that one.
Yes, all right. What was the other one? Sent you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think I'd heard that one before.
Not once.
Really?
I don't think so. And I wrote a book.
Wow. Kevin Reavy,
I saw
on Amazon. Yeah.
You'll bring up a word that I've never heard before, and that's what catches me off guard. Yeah. I'm like, hold on, what the hell was that?
Sentient, right? So able to perceive or feel things?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put it on. It sounds like a Twitter poll. Have you ever heard of this word before?
Can we guess on what the poll is going
to
be?
Ooh, feels like a 65-4-35 no.
To me, feels like a 67% yes.
So you think everybody has heard that word?
Well, look, you have to build in the people who will lie, and they're not going to lie
definitely
and say
people
no.
Will lie and say yes.
So I think the real number is around 56.
Okay.
But I think the poll number is going to be pushing 70.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't use
because we all got to be smart.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, that's what they have to act like. Yeah. They don't, you and Jack are in a difficult position.
Yeah.
And look, Jack's in the most difficult position because 40% of words in general he uses
no idea what
improperly.
They are, yes.
Yeah. Dude, it's a good call. It's a good call.
What?
I don't use anything properly.
No. Yeah, tons of words you get wrong. OG Wade, you're on WIP. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What's up, OG?
Let me drop this knowledge on you guys. Listen, right? There's no switch to be hit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I think that without even arguing about who's this or that, we all can agree that the Eagles' biggest issue this year was the health of the offensive line, because that affects our running game, which is major part of what we do. You know, well, you know, our best. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To help us win games. So. By Nick Sirianni resting the guys, I want people to understand he did not rest the guys for fear of injury. It was resting the guys because that was the best way that he felt that we could go into this game, you know, healthy. You know what I'm saying? If you look at this team as a whole, this is the healthiest team in all the playoffs. We got everybody healthy finally. So what you're going to see, a healthy Eagles team that's battle-tested. Why I say that? Didn't we play the toughest schedule, in the NFL?
No.
So the yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, it's mid-pack.
Yeah, come on, man. I mean, can we not do this, please?
OG. Just,
okay,
we don't have to argue about it. Hold on. Hold on.
Who did?
Shh. I'm just telling you. That every team in the NFC West had a tougher schedule than the Eagles. They did. So the Niners had a tougher schedule. No.
We've already went through this, OG.
No, I'm actually not. I'm actually not wrong. I just looked at it this morning. The Eagles have like the 14th or 15th toughest schedule in the NFL.
Spike, let me educate you on something. You looked at records. That don't tell it. Because
I looked at record. Hold on. I looked at record. I looked at FPI, and I looked at DVOA. So I looked at three different things, two of which don't even measure record.
Okay. You done now?
Well, you can't just say things that are objectively untrue. They play in the NFC East. They play in a division. They play in a division where not one other team was a 500 team. Every team in the NFC was under 500. One of them has the fifth pick in the draft, and they almost had the first pick in the draft, and they lost to that team. They did not have the toughest schedule in the NFL. It wasn't even close. It's not debatable. They didn't have the toughest schedule by any metric at all. So it's a fact. It's done. We don't have to argue about it because it's not true. So
am I going to be able to talk?
Not about that. Go on to the next point. If you're going to talk about that, then we're done. It is objectively false. What is your next point?
Ike.
Yes.
Here's what I'm trying to say. The Rams, Seattle, and the 49ers, right?
Yep.
They played a last place schedule.
No. The Rams didn't play a last place schedule. The Rams were in playoffs last year. They weren't in last place. And they played in the division. You can't discount the division games. It's half the games you play, a third of the games you play. We just heard that the Seahawks beat the Jaguars, which was part of their last place schedule.
Right.
Beat one of the best teams in the AFC. They beat the Texans. We don't have to lie. He's not allowed to lie. No lying. This is an accountability show. I was held accountable yesterday for something I said that was untrue.
Yeah.
Not on purpose.
Right.
But it was untrue.
I'm held accountable every day.
You're held accountable every day.
To an absurd standard. Yeah.
Ike is held accountable. We're all held accountable.
Yeah.
Can't lie. They didn't have the toughest schedule in the NFL. It's okay. It's fine. You don't get the trophy because you have the toughest schedule in the NFL. They don't even hand out a trophy to that. Biggest liar, OG, would get that trophy. All right.
Or could have just said they had one of the tougher schedules.
Yeah, they had a tough schedule.
Yeah.
It seemed like, I'll put it this way, it seemed like a much tougher schedule leading into the year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because we thought the Giants would be better. They weren't.
Yeah.
We
expect Dallas to be better.
We thought Washington would be good.
Yep.
They were not.
Yep.
The Chiefs were not a good team this year, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. That's why they play the games.
Now, unless he was going to tell you, we didn't have a back-to-back home game all year.
Yes. We also didn't have back-to-back road games.
Once.
Oh, we did.
One time, right?
Well, because we have an odd number of games.
Yes.
I would imagine.
I think we had it one time.
We did not have back-to-back home games, which would have helped. Be nice to have back-to-back home games in the friggin' playoffs, but we avoided that.
We had back-to-back road games twice. Giants in Minnesota. It was a Thursday against the Giants, so it was a little extra time off.
Well, that's why we lost. It was a short week.
Right, it was Thursday into a Sunday.
Oh, Thursday into a Sunday.
And then they had the Washington and Buffalo game at the end of the year. That was two back-to-back.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
All right. It's good to hear from OG.
Oh, yeah. We haven't heard from him.
439 is coming up next.
Oh, yeah. You have something good?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, we're asking him.
Well, I can't tell if you like this song or not.
It's not country. No country in 430-90s.
Take it down a notch.
Okay.
There's no country and there's no Tupac.
No Tupac.
Right.
Okay. I'm already running low on Tupac.
Yeah.
Okay.
But.
Which I've told you just.
I know.
You can recycle songs.
Yeah, it's not going to.
Well, I don't know if I can or not.
Yeah,
of course
Tupac,
you can. Most of these songs, you think we only want to hear them once?
I don't know.
Nah.
It's Tupac.
Come on. Listen, I'm great at recycling.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
One last thing for you to think about.
Exactly. Are you kidding me? And I got to do three songs?
Yeah.
It's a lot of brain power. Yeah. And the top five, and the next question, and the topic.
You're that big paycheck of yours.
Well.
Exactly. And the next question. You're acting like the next question has always been your responsibility. Today, one time in the 2 years of the show, I'm like, Jack, you have to think of something.
And I thought of something.
No, Ike did.
He said, what are you talking about?
Yes.
What do you mean? I said, let's do the dumber one.
Well, yeah.
I said it was rivalries, which is a great one. But it's also, you know.
Okay.
I came up with the
Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Okay, all right.
Notable
all right.
sound.
All right.
Infamous sound bite.
Congratulations. All right. 215-592-9494.
I think you'll like this song. It's a notable 90s song, but you might hate it.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
That's even better.
Fine. Yeah. And also coming up next, a hit to the good vibes happened in Philadelphia sports last night. A predictable hit, but a hit to the good vibes. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Speaking of vibes, it's a new year. So, you know, many people, maybe including you think of different ways that you can be healthier. You should think the same way about your pet. about your dog or your cat. That is how the lead dog, George Pereni from Dogs and Cats Rule, thinks about. And I think that is a responsible way to think, because your dogs could have issues health-wise that you could address with a product at Dogs and Cats Rule. Maybe your dog, and Rebel has this, maybe the licking and biting of their paws, right? Could be that. Maybe it's a skin issue. Maybe the rash issue. Maybe it's a coat. Whatever it is, Dogs and Cats Rule has the solution. Maybe it's a change in diet. You know, sometimes it's what the pet is eating that causes those things. Maybe it's a supplement that could help. And the best part about Dogs and Cats Rule is you think to yourself, oh, now I got to Google which supplement. Oh, now I got to Google which food. Not at Dogs and Cats Rule, because their staff at all 7 locations are amazing, patient, informed, just ready to help talk you through that issue with your pet and make sure you wind up with the right product. I did mention 7 locations. There's 5 in Pennsylvania: Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, and Bluebell. 2 in Jersey, Pennington and Princeton. Dogsandcatsrule.pet is the website. Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family.